Thank you. This call is now being recorded.
All right, thanks. Good morning or good evening, everybody. Let's see, I'll start with just taking the roll as I see it in the meeting view window here. We've got Glenn from staff, Olaf from staff, Patrick Jones from staff, and Nick Ashenhart from staff. Then Jonathan Frakes, Margie Neelam, Jeff Eckhouse from the registrars, Jeff Newman from the registries, myself, Mike Rodenbaugh for the business constituency, and Christina Rosette from the IPC. Did I miss anybody? Okay. First point on the agenda was statements of interest, which we hadn't checked up on in a little while. Glenn, have you
there haven't. No, I haven't received any, and I'm just about to send out a notice for people to do that as soon as possible.
Okay, probably just one or two people that don't have them already on file. So, all right, let's try to get those. Okay, Olaf, how are we looking on the RFI results so far?
Well, it's advancing and it's up and running. It took a bit before we got everything synchronized with both the ICANN posting and the Big Pulse posting, but now it's there since mid-week. And we've so far got 8 responses on the ICANN email posting, 19 on Big Pulse so far. So it's advancing, and we've also tried to boost the make some publicity around it through our liaisons. We've already seen some results of that in the form and shape of articles and newsletters sent to by Pablo Hinojosa in South America to the LAC TLD list. And also there's been quite some coverage in various articles. I've seen one in French actually appearing on yahoo.fr website. I don't know if you had anything to do with that, Mike, but there it was.
No, I didn't. So it showed up on Yahoo's French homepage, you said?
Yeah, indeed. That's news. It came from ZDNet, which is a guy called Astor writing there. So, but it's very nicely put in French, and there have been a few other articles as well, so I guess we could be pretty satisfied with the kind of coverage we've got. So far, of course, more results expected and hoped for. When it comes to my immediate impression from the Big Pulse is that, it's easy to get numbers and people to vote yes or no. But when it comes to free text input, there's precious little of it if you compare to what we received so far on the ICANN site. Where we have to, there is the usual mix. We've got a very in-depth a contribution from no less than Danny Younger, worth to check out. And also quite an interesting response from the postmaster of University of Cambridge. And, well, a few other bits and pieces. But that's where we stand right now.
The posts right now are not visible to anybody else, correct?
Big Pulse.
Big Pulse posts are, okay.
Oh yes. Yeah. They're both visible to whoever would like to see them. So it's just to... you've seen... I sent out the links, but they're also available on the ICANN posting, both for the ICANN response mails and for the Big Pulse current result.
Alright. Well, it sounds like we're doing pretty well with all this so far then. Obviously, it's middle of summer holidays for a lot of people. We have it open until September 15th, so there's still plenty of time. I'm assuming that everybody on the call or, you know, the people that are usually on the call have sent out, you know, a note to their constituencies at least with the link. If not, then hopefully that will happen very, very soon.
Talking about which, perhaps we should mention also what Christina and Nick have planned for a separate to run the constituency polling with additional questions on Big Pulse as well.
Mm-hmm.
Nick or Christina, could you perhaps fill in on that, where we stand?
Well, I think Nick probably has more current information than I do.
Well, yeah, all I can say is that, I mean, there's been a request to have a secondary survey. We just have to make it up. We've made up a linked account to the ICANN account, so Christine, I can give you administrative access to the poll once it's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a question of asking if everybody else is au fait with, you know, constituency questionnaires being listed as constituency questionnaires alongside the main one in the announcement.
I thought we had already talked about that.
Yeah, I think so too. What do you mean in the announcement, Nick?
On the ICANN.org, you know, domain tasty announcement. Basically, the sort of form that Christina had kindly put together, which she and I talked about when we talked about this.
Basically, the idea would be that if you go to the ICANN homepage, and Nick, correct me if how it's translated on your end is different from how I envisioned it in my head, but that basically, if you go to the ICANN homepage, you'll see that the August 10 announcement and the link. If you click on that link, you'll be taken to a page that has text about, you know, the request for information, here's the PDF, here's the online form, here's where you can click to the results. And the idea was that further down on that page, clearly separable and clearly identified as such, there would be introductory text about the ITC questionnaire as well as a link to the online form of it. And I should note that notwithstanding the fact that it's been prepared, well, by me, it's really open to anyone who wants to complete it, with the caveat being that because we are asking for very specific information about brand and trademark owner experience, we are asking that respondents provide their name and affiliation, organization name, and contact information so that we can just spot, validate some of the results.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that sounds like a good idea. Certainly, I would send it out to the business constituency. Margie might want to, they might want to consider, Mark Marner might want to consider sending out the link to some of their customers.
Well, as of right now, the International Trademark Association is planning to send out an email announcement to all 7,500 members.
Wow.
So I anticipate that we'll get some participation.
Yeah, that's great.
And so what's now the purpose of this is to help the IPC come out with a statement about it, or what's the purpose of this?
Just because my understanding was that very early on the group made a decision that because there was on the one level very broad information that the group wanted to have, as well as an acknowledgement that there was going to be particular information about the experience of particular constituencies, which would obviously vary, that the idea was that the request for information would be very general and that any constituency that wanted to was free to create their own questionnaire.
Correct.
Okay, and that's just one input amongst many.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
In fact, Newstar could wear its brand owner hat and reply to some of it, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, seriously, anybody who wants to can fill it in. You just, you know, so it says there that, you know, just keep in mind that you will need to provide that information, and if you don't want to provide it, then...
And this is the question you sent out like on July 30th or something like that?
It's been revised, but generally, yeah. I mean, what I've basically done is kind of put in like yes, no, number ranges to just kind of check the box and make it easier for people. But that's the general gist of it, yeah.
And how does, so like I was looking at the questions and this is a separate topic just for you, then Mike, just let me know. But how does an IP owner know if their name is tasted or read? You're not involved in ICANN. Let's say you're not involved in ICANN at all. How are you going to know whether your name is tasted or whether someone registered it? Like, is this a difference?
Well, because many large brand owners receive want notices when a new domain name
is registered.
And if you're getting sequential notices for the same name.
Yeah, this is Margie. We have a report that actually tracks that. So our clients will see a name registered, and then they'll see it dropped, and then they'll see it re-registered.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not that often that a name is registered, dropped.
I beg to differ. But let's take this conversation offline, because I think it probably is not, you know, I mean, if the group wants to continue, I'm happy to, but I think it might be.
Well, I mean, I sent the group, well, at least in biz anyway, I don't know about comp, but I sent the group statistics, hard facts as to what, and it was less than 1% of names that were registered during the ad grace, or sorry, that were dropped during the ad grace period that were actually re-registered.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Maybe that's the question that you and I want to work on to send the registries for that kind of hard information as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think VeriSign, I know I asked them, they're going to prepare those statistics, but you're going to see that it's less than, I mean, Chuck, I was talking to Chuck today, he said it's less than 1% also. So I think there's going to be a lot of confusion when brand owners answer this question. They're going to just think, they're not going to know whether a name's registered or tasted. Most of them, right? I mean, if you send it out to 7,500 members, no, as being one of their members, yeah, I am familiar with ICANN, but I think you're going to get, maybe one of the questions should be, do you know what tasting is?
Actually, it's Marilyn. I thought we were going to have an FAQ that explained some of these things.
There is an FAQ.
Right.
I don't know if it makes a distinction between some of the monitoring services that the trademark folks might be watching as far as brands go. Because I know some of the services hold back for 5 days before they send out brand mark notices to kind of shelter from the tasting activity, to kind of shelter out the noise.
And I'm sorry, who's speaking?
This is Jonathan, Marilyn. Good morning.
Thanks, Jonathan. Sorry, I was late.
I think it might be useful to make the distinction that Jeff is mentioning at the start of this IPC supplemental request, that what you're really asking about in these questions is domains that are still within the ad grace period.
Right. Because I can tell you that even as a brand owner, a new star, we have a number of names that I don't go after the ones that are tasted, but I go after the ones that are registered, you know, for longer than a certain period
right.
of time. You know, and there's a bunch I'm going after now. But I'm familiar with tasting, and I'm familiar with ICANN. I can guarantee you that most of the 7,500 INTA members are not.
Jeff, I can assure you that, you know, we're taking care of the educational efforts on that end. So, you know, If the ad hoc group ultimately says that it's going to discount the results of what the IPC comes up with, it is free to do that.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to be making qualitative analysis of the results at all. Our job is just to essentially get the results, summarize them.
Yeah, but don't you want, when you get the results, you want to make sure that, you know, if the IPC comes forward with, 75% of the people responding said that their names have been targeted for tasted domain name, their brands have been targeted for tasted domain names, and then they've answered the rest of the survey accordingly, and it's not actually true that it was tasted, but they're just normal registrations targeted, you know, for domain traffic purposes or whatever. Don't you think that's an important bit of information that we need to know?
But that's in the question, Jeff. I mean, you know, we use the same FAQ and the same definitions that are in the standard RFI. So if you have a concern with those, then we have a bigger problem.
Well, in the standard RFI, though, the we're not really asking for the sort of statistics that the IPC is asking for.
Right.
But we do define.
We are, but generally speaking. You know,
right. Well, as a practical matter, if somebody doesn't understand what tasting is when they go into the, you know, the same people that Jeff is concerned about, you know, if they are, in fact, not going to get it after they read that definition, they're not going to get it regardless of whose questionnaire they're filling out and what statistics are being provided.
Yeah, I guess all I'm suggesting, I think maybe all Jeff is suggesting, is that you clarify that in your question, starting with number four, really, you're asking for and I really don't want to worry because your brand and the target of tasted domain names, it's not really worded the best way, I don't think. You really want to ask, have you seen domain names registered and dropped within the AGP that correspond to your brand or marks, or that are confusingly similar to your brands or marks? I think it's really the question you want to ask, right?
And maybe it would say confusingly similar or include your brand or marks.
Right, correspond or be confusingly similar to, yes.
That's what you mentioned, Marilyn, the confusingly similar definition as it's used in UDRP and such, really includes the including, I mean, that you put, hey, I like Yahoo, don't I? That kind of domain names are considered as being part and parcel of the confusingly similar concept.
I'll take your suggestion back to my constituency in INTA and then proceed accordingly.
Yeah, I don't think we need to spend time on this call. Obviously, the place to do it, to hash out wording on the questionnaire, would be on the list.
Well, and frankly, you know, to be candid with you all, I have spent...
I'm with you, Christina. It's the IPC's questionnaire.
Exactly.
I understand that. So,
but
true.
The only reason I'm raising these points, Christina, is I'd rather raise the concerns now than after you get the results and you've gone through all these steps as to the things that, you know, the things I'll be looking at.
No, I understand that. I mean, I just, you know, I'm really not at liberty to get into the details of what INTA's educational efforts are going to be on this point, but I can assure you that it will be taken care of.
Okay. Well, on its face right now, you know, I got to say I agree with the concern that it's not real clear what exactly you're asking about here. You know, and there is a difference between domains tasted and dropped within the AGP, which is really the sort of information we're looking for.
Oh, absolutely. I know, yeah. I mean,
and,
okay.
Yeah, and then the other question, and maybe Christina, you and I can talk about it offline, is I don't understand. I mean, to me, it seems amazing that someone could file a UDRP on a tasted name. I mean, because they only have, they'll find out about it, and most they have is 4 days to file it.
Well, that very well might be the point we're trying to make.
Yeah, but there certainly are other legal options, right, under the ACPA or otherwise to go after tasted names. Okay, anyway, let's let Christina, if she wants, go ahead and edit the survey, but of course we want to get it up and live as soon as we can so that people have plenty of time to answer it by September 15th.
Nick, if you would just kind of go ahead with what you're doing, and I'll get back to you, and if we need to trade out that question or, you know, tinker with it a little, or maybe,
no,
you know, revise the FAQ, which I think is probably going to be the easiest way to do it for that question.
And on that note, if we could just make it clear when it is posted on the ICANN website that this is strictly the IPC and it's not the ad hoc group that made this up.
Oh, absolutely. That's very clear.
That's part of it.
Okay.
All right. And again, I think the concern, Christina, is just that you make it very clear to people that you're asking for stats for domains dropped within the AGP, not for domains. Of course, every registration goes through the AGP. And we're really just concerned about the ones that are dropped during that period.
Preaching to the choir.
All right. Then let's move on. So we don't, and I take it, Nick, then you have everything that you need from the group or from Christina, other than that particular issue? All right, so hopefully that'll be up and live end of this week or beginning of next. It looks like we don't have Danny Younger or Paul Stahura to give us any status on the research that they're working on. so we'll skip that. Verifying add grace period delete data. So I talked with Chuck Gomes yesterday. He thought that VeriSign would have fairly readily available and be willing to give us historical data on this. From, you know, we just got the data point from April showing the number of deletes within the AGP, and that was the first time they reported that. We're going to try to get that going back as far back as they'll get it. Jeff, you just raised another good point that we ought to try to go to the registries and see about.
Yeah, and I talked to Chuck this morning. We had a regular constituency call, and VeriSign's going to respond to the questions that you ask them, but the questions that I brought up on our call were much more specific for data, and Chuck said, well, I need to have the ad hoc group submit those specific questions to us formally because that's not the questions we're answering. So in other words, why don't you and I off this call go over the specific questions? Like, they're requiring us to be very detailed. For example, you know, list all the names that were registered in a certain month that were deleted within 5 days that were re-registered. You know, like, you can't ask them the general question of, please give me the stats on the number of domains that were tasted. Right?
No, I understood. Okay. So why don't you and I do that, work up a list of specific questions, and then put it to the list, and then get it to VeriSign.
Can I just ask a clarifying? Did I understand Jeff correctly that VeriSign, or at least I'm understanding your question suggests that VeriSign actually tracks and can provide data as to which specific names are added and dropped within the 5-day period?
Every registry should be able to do that, yes.
Okay,
yep.
Thanks.
It's Marilyn. Is Patrick, you on the phone?
I'm on the phone.
I think this would be helpful to verify because the data that's been available so far has been registrar report, registrar by registrar, but not specific name reports.
And that's because that's not public information.
Right.
Right. So, Mike, right. But I just wanted to be sure that I understood what the discussion was. But the discussion is VeriSign as a registry has that data. The question will it be shared for purposes of understanding the issues, and how will it be made public? How will it be shared?
So let me go back to I sent an email to the group on July 26, 2007 it was entitled Information Statistics, Actual Information Statistics for .biz on Tasting. And in that email I said that there were between 20,000 to 45,000 domain names per month that were registered and deleted between January and June 2007 for a total of approximately 195,000 domains. Of that 195,000 domains, and then I went through 183,000 were never re-registered, 402 were deleted and re-registered more than 10 times. You know, I went through stats.
Right, right.
Right. That's the kind of stats that I'd like to see from VeriSign and other registries.
Right.
It's not individual name by name, like give me the name that's most often re-registered or, you know, not name by name, but more break that down. So you said 195,000 domains you suspect were tasted. You know, of those, how many were re-registered? Of those, how many were re-registered more than once, more than three times, more than five times? That's the kind of stats that I'd like to get.
Exactly. And I'll just say that the experience that my client has is something like, so a name may disappear for a year, and then it pops up and is tasted repeatedly for a frantic period of time, and then it may disappear again. So over time is also a very important element.
Registries have stats as to the last time a name was, should have stats, historical information. That's tough to make make an association on. Like, if there is a year that goes by, it's tough to say that that's related to the first instance, but after the year, if it's registered and re-registered, you know, during that period of time, then you can make certain inferences. But
What period of time were you using, Jeff, for your stats?
So what I did is I went from January through June this year.
And so it's just whatever was registered and re-registered within that six-month period.
Within that six-month period, correct. Now I could go back now and do a revised one from January through July, or at the end of August, I could do January through August. I could do months before that as well, but I could tell you that according to what we noticed, we didn't really have in biz tasting until, to any real extent, until November of last year. But
VeriSign, of course, was before then.
Right.
I think it would be interesting. I think it would be good to probably see what was registered and re-registered within a one-year period, and that's probably reasonable.
Yeah, and I think in a couple months, biz will be able to do that. We just haven't had a full year, but I can go back to November and do that.
I think that's what we should aim to ask VeriSign for, though.
Can I just ask, and we don't need to decide this now, and in fact, we have a lot of things to get to, but something that I would like to talk about at some point is if we can, in fact, get that information, to what extent we want to be somewhat guarded about releasing it, simply because it would be, I would imagine, kind of big neon arrows as far as trademark owners are concerned, in the sense of, you know, I wouldn't want to be releasing, you know, a list publicly of, you know, these are the you know, all the names that are tasted, which I think, you know, I think realistically are most likely to be trademark infringement. So you know what I'm concerned?
No, I wasn't talking about releasing names. I was talking about numbers.
Okay, good.
So like I said, like 183,935 names were not re-registered and deleted out of that original 195,000. Then 402 names were deleted and re-registered more than 10 times, and that, to us, you know, indicates probable kiting.
No, I realize that. I'm sorry. I should be clear. I was talking about, you know, if we do, in fact, get this information from VeriSign as to the specific names.
Oh, I don't think we're going to ask.
We're not going to get that.
All right. Never mind. I was misunderstanding that.
We're basically going to ask them to provide stats.
Okay.
In response to specific questions.
Okay.
So Jeff and I will take a draft of those questions and submit them to the list for comment.
All right.
And then get them to VeriSign.
Mike.
Meanwhile,
could I get back to where you started, actually, because you had a contact with VeriSign saying that they seem to be positive to towards providing more data on deletes within ad grace period. For some time, and well, that's of course dearly needed if we want to make a graph, because for the time being the graph over time only consists of one point, and that's not much of a graph. So I just wanted to have, well, did you get any promise that it would be delivered, or is it still to be checked and verified, or is it part of what you and Jeff will put forward as questions?
It was not promised yet. It was told, Chuck Gomes told me that he thought that they had the data and would not have a problem providing it, but that I should ask Pat Kane. So I did that yesterday.
Okay.
I'm anticipating positive response, but we will see. And then Jeff and I, the questions that Jeff and I will come up with are additional.
Okay.
This is Patrick. There have also been some other high-level discussions between ICANN staff and VeriSign on getting additional data, so I hope to be able to share more at some point soon. I can't share much more than that right now.
Okay. I'm sure we probably all have questions on that, but we'll hold on. We still next week.
That's like a teaser.
Yeah, it is. That's okay.
Mike, this is Margie. The other thing you could do is if you're not satisfied with the kind of information that you've got historically, you know, if we had a longer period of time to look at it, you know, a lot of companies, just like, you know, Enom's doing or we do for our reports, we could, you know, we could actually analyze that data going forward, you know, as long as we scoped out what we were looking for.
Okay. So, wait. Talk a little bit more on that.
So in other words, you know, obviously we do our reports. You know, I submitted a copy of our brand jacking index to the list. What we do is we look at daily zone file differentials. So we look at what's been registered, you know, every day and what's new. And so, you know, to the extent that you're not getting cooperation or, you know, information from VeriSign, at least from historical perspective, as long as we, you know, decide what it is we want to look for, someone can do that analysis. Maybe it's what Paul's doing, or maybe, you know, but
right.
just need to figure out, you know, what it is, and it's just something you start now, and you do, you know, you look at the zone files every day for a month, for 2 months, for 3 months, whatever, you know, the period is that you're interested in. I mean, it's not that difficult to craft, you know, the analysis once you know specifically what you're looking for.
Okay, that makes sense. So I think what we got to do is we got to figure out exactly what Danny and Paul are doing, and then figure out exactly what Verisign is doing. Hopefully we can figure those things out within the next week, and then we can figure out if Mark Monitor or anyone else might be able to supplement or fill in any holes.
Right.
Okay. All right. So obviously we will come back to the list with further questions to Verisign. I will follow up with Danny and Paul and see if they can give us sort of a brief write-up of exactly what projects they're doing, and we'll take it from there. All right. Any other questions on the data, the zone file data, or otherwise? Then we'll move on to Joffin. Can you tell us what is the status of your polling of the registrars?
Yeah, I'm going to need until next week to provide anything substantive. I mean, the feedback that I'm getting from within the registrar constituency is kind of underwhelming for this, but unless it's specific to individual questions, that's kind of a common occurrence, fairly typical. So the feedback that I'm getting actually just discusses, you know, that of all the three choices that are on the questionnaire, that the vanishing of the AGP would be the most significant impact, that they'd prefer restocking or those other options to the AGP because of the programmatic impact. But again, that's obtuse to the straw poll that I'm putting out, just as far as what the impact of, you know, how many of them are doing testing.
Yeah, I think, I mean, those are more the questions of the RFI, which obviously we want as many registrars to answer that as possible, but I understood that you were separately going to ask them what their specific uses of the AGP have been and try to build some statistics around that.
Yeah, predominantly, I'm going to need until next week.
Okay.
Otherwise,
no problem.
It would be completely subjective.
Mike, this is Jeff here. One of the things is that some of the registrars might be using it for, you know, when I know ourselves that for certain purposes that we might not want to disclose what we're using it for, that, you know, they're within the guidelines. And I would just put it under testing as the broad category, but I don't want to give out specifics because I consider those certain, you know, trade secrets on our business.
I'm finding that's kind of common without going into a lot of detail, that the registrars, many of them are using the AGP for, you know, very, very legitimate purposes that they consider very proprietary.
I mean, it is Jeff Newman, if things like, I mean, I'd be happy just to get an answer like, you know, testing purposes or, but not tasting, you know, something.
Yeah.
If they could say testing or other, some general category of purpose other than, you know,
product development or service development.
There you go.
But telling us, you know, we're not going to tell you.
I have,
you're gonna help me.
Yeah. Mike, I have a question about this that I think we need to ask the staff. If a policy or practice, and I'm not sure that any of us exactly know what the AGP is determined to be, but let's use the word policy for just a minute. If a policy is defined for purpose A and purpose B, what kind of flexibility exists to continually expand the uses of that policy? And let's use something neutral as an example.
So, Marilyn, I'm not really sure where you're going on this. I mean, we want to keep things focused on, you know, what sort of statistical information can we get. This group is not going to be involved in any sort of policy drafting in any way. So,
No, I understand, but I think it matters in how we ask the question. So I do agree with the last speaker that, you know, it's good if we can give some categories that people can respond to, such as product testing or et cetera, because at some point the council is going to have to decide if they are going to do a policy development process.
Could I respond, Marilyn, just quickly from my little simple perspective? I believe that it all depends on whether the purpose has been stated in the policy or not. If it has been specified and that this or that or the other are the purposes and the reasons for having this or the other feature like the ad grace period, well, then it's you have may have some kind of demarcation line, but I doubt that that is the case in when it comes to the AGP. It has not been stated as such in conjunction with the policy, has it?
Right, and Marilyn, it's also that your question goes back to the age-old debate of its contracts and policies. You know, is that which is, do you interpret a contract to include anything that is not otherwise expressly stated, or does it exclude anything that's otherwise stated? So even if a contract says that you may use data for a particular purpose, does it mean that you can't use it for other purposes? And I mean, that's an age-old contractual legal debate as to what's going on. So you'll get different sides from each, and there's no definitive answer.
Just to quote, this is Olaf again. I mean, well, this is German, but anyway, once upon a time, Germans had an expression saying that alles, was nicht ausdrücklich gestattet ist, ist verboten. That was during a very particular time, Second World War. Everything that's not specifically permitted is prohibited.
I thought that was Welcome to Beer Fest or Oktoberfest.
Well, in Germany it was slightly different, eh?
Yeah.
All right. So, Jonathan, I think what we'll do is we'll have some more concrete information about what exactly you're asking the registrars and what sorts of responses you're getting back by next week.
I think that can be reasonably accomplished.
All right. Thanks. All right, unless there's any other questions on that, we can move on and just ask Patrick to summarize the CCTLD work that he has been directing. I know we've got some about NL to the list recently. Thank you.
So I sent out requests to the top 10 CCTLDs plus a couple others, and I've made sure that I've forwarded the responses that have come back in. I do have a new response from CNNIC, the Chinese CCTLD, and I'm waiting for permission to be able to post that to the list. If not, I'll summarize the response that I was given. But there is domain tasting going on in .cn, and they do have a fee that they impose. So I hope to be able to post that to the list later today.
All right. Thanks. So of the 10 or 12 that you sent out, I know we've got dnic.nl, cnnic. Am I missing any others that we've already received?
.eu, .au Australia.
Right, okay. So we've got almost half of what you sent out so far.
Yeah, I think we're up to 8 or 9 right now.
All right. Great. And are you, at some point, I assume you're keeping sort of a summary document of all the responses?
I will post the summary document.
All right. Not urgent. We can wait for a few more to come in, I think. Okay. Anybody have any questions on that? Then I think we're to any other business. Questions, issues anyone wants to discuss on the call?
Just that this is Christina. Jonathan and I have had a meeting of the minds on the UDRP provider questions, and we're just getting those fleshed out right now. And hopefully we'll have something that we can send around to the group in the next day or two before we send those on to the providers.
We're definitely inches from goal.
Inches. Millimeters.
All right. Good. Good to hear. Thank you. All right. Anybody have anything else you want to discuss today?
This is Jeff Eckhouse. I just had one last thing. This was from the earlier discussion about the publicizing, the RFI and the other piece. It would be nice if you guys could, if you could include it in the something about it in the ICANN blog. I know a lot of people do read that and look at it and have it as a feed, so it might be, and link to it, so it might be a nice way to drum up some publicity for it. But I don't know what your policies are and what you put on the blog, so.
Jeff, that can be done today.
Okay. Oh, great.
And, you know, I mentioned this to the folks on Lyft, but, you know, I think both Mike and I got opportunities to discuss it with people at the Domain Roundtable Conference, and that was kind of helpful. Hopefully that increased some of the feedback just from general registrants.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right, unless anyone has anything else, I guess I would note for the record that Greg Ruth joined at some point after we took roll, as well as Marilyn Cade.
Yeah.
Other than that...
Later than ever.
Absolutely. Thanks, Greg. All right. Otherwise, I think we've got a few action items, at least a few of us do, and we will reconvene again next week.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye, all.